What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday? On Wednesday?
It's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
And then you got to turn the page real quick.
We just haven't been able to turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
That's right. On Wednesday, we turn the page. So we're letting go of the things that went on between the Bears and the 49ers. And we are getting you ready for what's getting ready to happen on Sunday on the lakefront. Ben Bowl 2, Bears versus Lions. This time it's outside.
Yeah, it is. And it's here. And we thought it would have a different kind of significance, but it is what it is. Why are the Lions 8-8? They're third in points per game. They're sixth in yardage. They're second in yards per play. They're even fifth in red zone percentage in getting touchdowns. But as an offense, they're 20th in third downs, 15th in rushing, 15th in time of possession. And the defense is where it's been very, very rough. 23rd in points per game, 18th in yardage, 21st in red zone defense, 11th in third down defense. Look, they are the second most injured team in the NFL in terms of games missed with an injured reserve designation. 254 games. They trail only the Arizona Cardinals. They are ravaged. That pass defense is down to their fifth and sixth safeties. Their number one corner is out for the year. The nickel has a broken hand. He's still playing. DJ Reed was hurt. Now he's been back, but he's been bad. They're rough. Ben Johnson was asked about the Lions, now eliminated for the first time since 2019 at this point in the year. But they are eliminated. Ben Johnson asked if they're going to play for pride this week, his former team.
It's been a few years since the Lions have been eliminated from the postseason. You know Dan well enough. But what does playing for pride mean for that team as they go into this game?
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna come out here and they're gonna fight. I mean, it's what they do, and so you know, it's gonna be a good challenge for us. It's a very good team. I mean, this group has talent all over the place. Offensively, their skill positions are absolutely loaded. You know, receiver wise, they're fast. Quarterback is playing at a super high level. He's so accurate. You give him a clean pocket, he can just pick you apart, and then these runners are dangerous, both of them. And so, you know, I think defensively we got a tall task at hand, a lot like we did last week. And that's step one. And then their defense is, you know, yeah, I get it. They've given up some points over the last few games, but, I mean, they're still a very stout front. I mean, these guys are flying to the football. They create pressure, and you see some explosive plays, but they're all contested. It's tight coverage on the back end, and so I think Shep's doing a great job getting those guys going. They play hard, they play fast, and they play physical.
It's a level of respect and acknowledgement you'd expect from Ben Johnson. The explosive plays, yeah, there's been a lot of them. Maybe the front is stout, but the back half, woof. Look, here's the deal. They only gave up 51 yards last week in passing to Max Brosmer of the Vikings, but that's Max Brosmer, who wasn't really trying to do too much. Get this, the five games before that, teams averaged 328 yards passing per game. 328 in the five games before they faced Brosmer. Caleb will have opportunities to get to 4,000 this week.
He will, and that's why I'm okay with the pursuit of it, the chase of the chase. I am okay with it because that's a way that you can beat this Lions team. It has been a problem for them because, like what you said, their depth in their defensive backfield is completely depleted. I have a a text here on my phone. I believe it's from my cousin Brad saying, hey, you got a couple snaps left at safety so you can come up here and play. And I'm like, nope, I don't want to deal with Luther Burden. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want those type of problems.
But you could catch seven innings today.
I could.
That's why you're here
working.
I feel
pretty great
today. Brad Holmes is the GM of the Detroit Lions. He and Dan Campbell have made beautiful music together. 2021 is the last time they were not looking at playoff position at this point. Last time they were eliminated at this point. But anyway, Dan Campbell talks about the Bears. What's different from week two? You think a lot of things, right, Dan?
They're more polished. They're a better team. They've really since that time they lead the league in takeaways on defense. You know, they're getting them, man. It's like we talk about. It's contagious for them. Those guys are getting them in a good way. Got one the other night. You know, once again it turned it to a touchdown. So. And it's much more sound, you know. DA's got his system in, and it's grown and developed. They're keeping teams out of the end zone, keeping the offense ahead. That's what you got to do on defense, man. Get the takeaways. That's big. And then offensively, they're more polished, you know. Ben's done a good job. The system is in, and these little things that were there game two, game one, you know, they begin to go away. They've got a run game. They found a run game. Play action pass. Kayla's playing really well. O-line's playing really well. Got a run game. Swift's running well. 25 is he's a downhill hard runner too. So
downhill.
Tight end's playing good, both of them. Really all three of them. So, you know, they're playing at a high level. You know, they're doing things well, much more polished.
Kyle Manungai, downhill, as Wani likes to say. Explosive plays, Lawrence. The Bears offense back in first place with 123 of them. It's the Bears, then the Bills, Rams, Pats, and Packers. That's playoff teams, every single damn one of them.
I really love what Dan Campbell said there.
Polished.
It makes so much sense. Like when you really think about it, it's a simple way to look at it, and it's so perfect of a descriptor for what the Bears are now versus what he saw back earlier in the season. It's a beautiful way to talk about them, and I think it's spot on accurate, his view on what this team is.
The Bears are playing to win against the Lions. This one, it matters. If you're the 2 seed instead of the 3 seed, then you will stay at Soldier Field longer. And if that 1 seed loses, then you're the host of the NFC Championship game. And that 1 seed could be any one of the teams from the NFC West, and they could absolutely go down. The page has now been turned.
Yes, so now let's take a look at what's going on in the rest of the NFC.
Wait a minute, not the North?
The North has been taken, sir.
But we still go to the North. Still go to the sound of the North.
All right. Let's talk about the North.
We can just keep going on the NFC.
Well, we'll start with the North anyway, because the Packers are taking on Minnesota Sunday noon in Minneapolis. Matt LaFleur, cram up your cram hole, LaFleur, is weighing in with everything of the injured players and what it's like for them to get ready for the playoffs with all this going on.
You weigh everything and you try to come to the conclusion of what you perceive gives you the best opportunity to go out and play your best football when that time comes. So right now we're only focused on trying to put together a great practice today, and those are the things that are within our control, and that's what we challenge these guys. Whether you're playing in this game or not, we still got to have a great week of preparation and not look past what's right in front of us, and that's today.
So the Packers, Lawrence, are
locked
in
at the 7th seed. I thought that maybe what we could do is, in this case, we could go to our special correspondent on the Packers, the Cheese Grater, for their thoughts.
If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, the Cheese Grater is in the 3 chair. Here is our third host.
He's locked in.
He's locked in. He's thoughtful.
So locked in, he's got nothing to say.
You know, he's a little quiet. He's just really thinking.
I get it. There's a lot to think about. And now Trayvon Diggs apparently is going to join the Packers. And considering that they lost their starting corners, it makes sense. Micah's his guy from Dallas.
Yeah, Micah tweeted, "We back." Look, I'm not being specific, but the cheese grater right now is better than some hosts we've had here at the station.
Tampa is taking on Carolina. That's a Saturday 3:25 kickoff down in Tampa. It's odd. And the reason that it's odd is that on its face, you would go, the winner wins the division, right? Well, if Carolina wins, that is the case. They win the division. But if Tampa wins the game, they need Atlanta to lose their game, because in a three-way tie with all three teams 8-9, Carolina has beaten Atlanta twice, and obviously it'd be a split between the Panthers and the Buccaneers. So you would go to that next tiebreaker, would be in division, and there it is. The Carolina Panthers might make the playoffs.
Even if they lose.
Losing this game if Atlanta wins. So now you have that as backdrop, okay? This is what Todd Bowles had to say when he was asked what you can do differently heading into a quasi-elimination game.
Todd, is there anything that either you can say or do anything this week, knowing that this is it? Like, you know, each week you've had another week, but this is it. Is there anything you can do at this point different?
We've all talked and said everything. We can do everything we want to do. We've practiced early. We've practiced later. We've did certain drills and did certain things. We just have to do what we do better.
And that's true. They do need to do all of their stuff better.
How they have fallen, my goodness. There was a period early on in this year where you're like, Tampa Bay might be the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
Thought about it.
How about that?
And now
it's been a mess. Whew. Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, he's also aware of how weird this is in the NFC South.
You know, we're aware of all those scenarios, and it's a pretty simple path. You know, we got to handle business and win the game, and that's got to be our focus, first and foremost. And, you know, a team that I really respect and that we just played a couple weeks ago. So we have to approach this thing like we didn't just play them. Don't take anything for granted. Make sure we're on the details. And all the other scenarios will play out how they will. You know, I was watching the game last night. I watch every game on Monday night. And, you know, in this one right here, it's got implications, you know, but at the same time, the focus has to be there for us to be able to handle business and play our best ball.
I'm telling you, if Carolina loses to Tampa Bay and still gets in because of the Atlanta wrinkle, as you described it, they might be the worst division winner to ever make the playoffs.
I think you would be right on that. And they will have won the trade. Both teams making the playoffs in the same year.
Goodness.
They will win the trade.
Saturday night at 7 is a hell of a football game.
Saturday night, 7 o'clock kickoff in Santa Clara.
Oh, in Santa Clara. 7 o'clock our time or 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock our time.
Oh, that's lovely.
You might get a little late sunset action at the beginning of the game.
I wonder if Nico's going.
That's a good question.
We'll find out.
San Francisco with a very advantageous schedule. Get to just stay home and possibly could just stay home.
They got to win this week, though, to make that happen.
They do. They're taking on Seattle. The winner gets the number one seed. Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about stopping Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's had an awesome year.
The challenge is Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Not huge. I mean, everyone knows how good he's been this year in the whole league. I mean, I think he's our leading receiver in every game but one. He's obviously extremely talented, as most first-round guys are, but it's hard to know unless they're rated on Madden and their awareness rating, but I would guess his real-life awareness rating is off the chart. He's got very good feel in zones, how to move around. He's almost plays in slow motion, but he's one of the fastest guys out there, so a lot of respect for him.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba, number one in receiving yards in the NFL. He is 70 yards ahead of Puka Nacua. George Pickens is third. Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then the tight end Trey McBride in Arizona.
Pretty good. Mike McDonald, who might be coach of the year in the NFL, said this when asked if the offense starting slow most games is an issue.
Yeah, Mike, another bit of a sluggish start for you offensively yesterday. There's been a few of those here the second half of the season. Is there anything you kind of see as a thread kind of through these games? Obviously, each one's a little bit different, but what collectively as an offense early in teams, what are you seeing as to being a little bit slow out of the gates?
Yeah, it's kind of like our run game. You know, we've had some games where we've started really great. We've had some games where we haven't and been able to rebound. I think it's hard to attribute it to like just one thing. If not, I think we would have probably found a solution by now. But I'll tell you what, I mean, our guys were into it. I mean, you know, it's not easy getting up and having your energy ready. I mean, you have to do it, you know, going east and things like that. But it's, you know, you have to be very intentional about it. And I thought our guys were ready to go. You know, I thought our guys prepped really well. I thought they had great energy before the game. That's easier said than done, you know. And so I think we just got to keep attacking it, you know. Keep looking at the openers. Keep seeing the who's executing what, how we want to attack their structures, making sure our operation's right. That's going to go a long way. So, I don't know. I wish I had a single answer for you, but I know our guys are doing the inputs that we want. I think we're just not getting the results we want right now.
Look, the Texans are the best defense in the NFL in both yards and points, but Seattle is not far behind. In terms of points, they're second. Rushing yards, they're third best in the NFL, and they're fifth best in terms of yards. Seattle's had a great defensive year. It's a hell of a matchup Saturday night.
There's no doubt about it. Then what about this? The Rams are at home against Arizona Sunday at 3:25. They're part of the Atlanta situation because they lost to the Falcons. Had they beaten the Falcons, they would still be alive for the number one seed, and there wouldn't be any foolishness in the NFC South. But Puka Nacua did not catch that ball. They didn't have a chance to take the game to overtime, and they lost. They're home against Arizona. They can still be either the fifth or the sixth seed. Here's what Sean McVay had to say about whether or not he's playing starters against the Cardinals.
It's just right after the game, but have you made a decision about your starters for next week?
Oh, we're playing. Yeah, they're playing.
Is that because of the...
No, they were going to play anyways. We need to play. We need to play better football. I don't know what the consequences are in those different types of things, but we got to play better.
Look, that might change by Sunday at 3:25 is all I'm saying. Like, depending on what happens Saturday night, Green Bay plays at noon on Sunday. You know, you got the Bears and the Lions, but that's probably not going to have a whole lot of consequence. So we'll see. If he gets clarity by Sunday at 3:25, it might change. We'll see.
We'll see. And then Philly, they are home against Washington. So the Bears and the Eagles are fighting for the two seed, strangely enough. The Bears just have to win their game, and that takes care of that. Washington is ready to go home, and they've been ready to go home for a very long time. And I got to tell you, Speaks, out of all the things in the NFC, all the things that I'm scared of, I am scared of this Eagles team figuring itself out and being a problem for everyone in the playoffs. Here's what Nick Sirianni had to say about their lack of second-half offense last week against the Bills.
You're constantly in this quest to get better regardless of, you know, even last game, like there's things and there's lessons that came out of last game that you're like, man, that's really, you know, maybe obviously we're all pissed that we didn't execute and coach as well as we needed to in the second half of that Buffalo game. But I really looked at it as like, man, there's some opportunities here that we can really get better from as we went through it as coaches. And that's got to be the constant mindset you have. So my experience, my belief, and I know this is that you just keep you're just trying to keep getting better. And the best teams are playing their best football by the end of the year, and that's the teams that continue to excel through the playoffs and continue to go through the playoffs. And then I've also seen it with our 22 and our 24 teams.
God, it's so hard to figure out whether that guy's just a complete dope or not. Sometimes, isn't it? Like, he comes across, like, right from the get-go. Remember his first press conference?
Where I'm like, does this guy even belong in the NFL? Yeah, now he's a Super Bowl-winning coach.
Sure, but he might still be part dope. But, you know.
He might be.
It's working okay.
Here's an interesting little nugget to that whole thing. Guess who was named Special Teams Player of the Week?
This week?
Mm-hmm. In the NFC.
NFC Special Team. I don't know.
Jalen Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Because he blocked the extra point.
He sure did.
Which kind of forced Buffalo to go for two. And kinda. Then, so it was like, because I'm looking at him like, Oh, I guess, yeah, technically, yes. But
how do you not give it to Jared Verse after he single-handedly gets a touchdown?
That's what I was thinking. Like, to me, that's just screamed special teams player of the week.
Yeah, for sure.
You chuck up the deuce while you're out here running back a ball?
That's like one of the most clean and direct special teams dominant plays by one dude that you could ever see. I thought he blocked it and just caught it at first. Like, just reached his arms up, like, I got it.
I got it, and I'm going to the house. And I'm telling everyone on the sidelines that I'm doing this thing,
you,
too.
Love you.
So now we have turned the page, and we have looked at the NFC. That's coming up next.
Well executed by Tyler.
Not only is Speaks turning the page to the Detroit Lions, he is turning the page to the Detroit Lions 2026 schedule. Next, here on The Score.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going home.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. But I'm always worried.
So. That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Afternoons on The Score.
No. That's the Packers. That's the Packers touchdown song. All due respect to Todd Rundgren, the great Todd Rundgren. What the hell is Tyler Buterbaugh doing?
I always thought this Johnny B did this song.
Yeah?
I had no idea it was Todd Rundgren until I was an adult.
That's not going to help Tyler stay atop my rankings of all Tylers. You know, I said he was number one in my depth chart of Tylers.
You think that hurt him? That hurt his standing?
Well, it's funny because during the break...
Did you hear the open he did for the show?
It was really good. It was really, really good. But during the break, I was working on my top five Tylers. So here they are. Tyler Buterbaugh, you are still number one. I'm still going to give you number one.
Okay.
Congratulations on that. Number two is Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
I figured that he would...
I mean,
get in there.
I bought a tie in a cornflower blue because of Tyler Durden.
What is the ruling on Mary Tyler Moore?
No, I'm looking for male Tylers here.
I got you.
So Tyler the Creator is number three on my list of Tylers. I got Buterbaugh one, Tyler Durden two, Tyler the Creator is three.
I want to be careful with that one.
Yeah. How about this one? Tyler Perry is fourth. Do I got to be careful on that one too?
I mean, it depends on what circles you're in, but it's probably fine.
All right, so I got Tyler Perry as fourth. And then fifth, I'm going Tyler Hansbro.
Wait, what
number
about?
Fifth.
My name is Tyler Hansbro, and I play forward for Lord. Indiana Pacers. One day he was doing nothing, his usual pastime, when a corn fell from the sky and hit him on the head.
It was an acorn.
Yes, not a corn.
Not a corn, Tyler. So Tyler Hansbro. And that's it. Finishing out of the top five, Tyler Palko is...
You guys can call me crazy, but I'm excited about Tyler Palko tonight.
I was not as excited as Ron Jaworski was, and I'm so sorry to Tyler Buterbaugh, who is finishing just outside the top five.
What about Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Jesse Tyler Williams?
No, I need male first name Tylers.
Okay.
I know there's a Zeller. There's a Tyler Zeller, but I always think that that's Cody Zeller, and I get confused.
Isn't there another one of those guys, too?
Zellers?
Is there another Zeller
I think
guy
so.
Out there?
There's Zellers and Plumleys have always confused me, Lawrence. You know this. I can't tell any of them apart, and I refuse to do the work to try. I don't know which Plumlee or which Zeller is on which NBA team.
Am I still ahead of Baby T?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You're number one.
Which I you think just said is... I was outside of five.
No, I decided to keep you number one.
What about the Tyler Hoechlin, who played Superman forever?
No, I'm sorry. No? Well, you're feel free to make your own list of Tylers.
Toddler T.
This.
What about Tyler Blackburn?
No, I'm good. I'm good on that.
No?
I thought about Tyler Naquin because he plays baseball, but he's not very good. At baseball. I mean, he's better than me. Better than a lot of people.
Poor Baby T. He does is work hard.
He works his butt off. It's absolutely true. I love you, Baby T. Someday.
He tries so hard.
He'll get there. All right, here's
you
what I
You got him speaking in third person and stuff. Now he doesn't even make your list of top five. Like, he's running with your bit when the rest of us have told him to get rid of that bit. And he's like, nope, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be loyal to Matt Spiegel.
Oh, no.
And here you are, not even putting him in the top 10.
So are you telling me that I have become what I always hated?
Yes, like, I am telling you that.
Like, you know, just making fun of a producer and belittling them. Are you telling me? But I'm doing it with love. Like, I'm just kind of kidding around.
Well,
you know?
Are you, though?
You think Terry was kidding when he called me meat pants?
He was not kidding.
That's what I'm worried about. Like,
he was not kidding.
I've done that thing. I learned it from you.
You didn't learn it from me.
No, not you. Not you.
I have respect for producers.
I did learn it from Terry, though. But I think he was doing it with love. He ended up beloved.
Baby T is a child. I keep trying to tell you guys this, and you're not listening to me. He is a child. So it might hit him differently than it hits a Tyler Butterball, who is a family man at this point.
Tyler Saladino getting suggested.
Hawk Harrelson sent that in. He texted that in from Goshen, Indiana.
And Tyler Colvin also getting suggested.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. No. I feel good about my list.
You feel good about Tyler Palco? Is that only because
crazy.
Coach is coming on the show today?
Yeah, well, exactly.
His Tyler hero, superhero, guitar hero.
Exactly.
Lakers and five.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Tyler Perry was recently accused of some crimes and some lawsuits, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, should he be out of my list?
And Tyler, the creator, has run into some...
He has?
He dabbles in edgelord stuff and...
It's looking better for Butterbaugh.
Yeah, he should be. How about Tyler Texas? Is that on your list?
The Tyler Rose is Earl Campbell, right?
Yep.
And I love Earl Campbell. He's one of my favorite running backs of all time. So maybe he should be. I'll update the list. Thank you, everyone, for your outstanding Tyler suggestions. All right, so here's what I was wondering. Do you think at all the Detroit Lions should consider something that Colton Pouncey, the fine Lions writer for The Athletic, brought up, which is that the Lions, if they lose, could get the fourth place schedule next year. And the benefit of a fourth place schedule is that you play the last place teams from the other divisions.
That you don't play.
Correct. So
the schedule is 14 of your games are pretty much locked in. And then you get the last place teams of the conferences that your divisions that your division are not playing.
Here are the three games that Detroit would get if they get the last place schedule. They would play the Cardinals on the road in Arizona next year. And they would also host the Titans. And they would host the Giants. I ask because of this, which Colton points out. The Bears and the Patriots have won their divisions the year after fourth place finishes. New England's strength of schedule this year, 384 was the winning percentage. That is the easiest schedule in the NFL. While the Bears at 452, that was the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL. And both of those teams, in part benefiting from the easy schedule, won their division.
In part, you know what one of those games was, though, for the Bears, right? It was the 49ers because they finished last year in the NFC West.
Another one was the Raiders, and they were lucky to get out of Vegas because the Raiders are so bad that all they had to do was pretty much show up for the last 2.5 minutes and they could win that. Saints was another one. I don't know if the Saints was another one.
I was
or not.
Looking at it right now. Let's see. Yeah, because you played the AFC North and you played the NFC East. And so the Cleveland, right? Isn't that one of the games? No, that's AFC North. So, yeah, those are the games that you had where you were playing across and you ended up with games of last place teams. I think that when you go hunting for wins, not even in the same year, by looking at the schedule is a really dumb game.
But would it be a tank win? Like, you know, would their fans look at it as a tank win? I bet a lot of them would.
I don't.
I bet our friend Mike Valenti was driving that as a topic today.
I bet they weren't. I bet you that if you said something like that to Dan Campbell, he would.
Oh, of course he would.
He would melt your face with his eye lasers.
How about the rest of the people in the organization? What would they think?
I would hope that, like what Ben has done here,
you play to win the game.
That the way that your head coach, your godhead guy, acts is the way that everybody acts in your organization. So, you know, you can look at it and be like, oh, they have four. I always hated when these discussions would come up, especially in the 16 game era, where it's like, it's two games. It's two games. And you don't know, just like when the schedule comes out in May and we'll do a whole thing and it's like, oh, win. That's a win, right? You have no idea. Here's how I know, because you don't know where the injury report is. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are, like, you wake up this week, you wake up today and you go, hey, guess who was a full participant in practice today? Lamar F. Jackson. He's a full participant in practice.
What does the F stand for?
You know what it stands for.
I really do, as a matter of fact.
So you know, it's fun to think about that stuff, and it's kind of like big brain galaxy stuff. Like, oh, well, just play, and let's find out what happens. Their problems are not the schedule. Their problems are they lost both of their coordinators, a bunch of their coaches, and they don't have a play caller in place, and they have a ton of injuries.
Yeah, they lost their top four safeties. And you're right. Those are their problems. But, you know, if you're a Lions fan, you're thinking about, well, if they lose, they would only go from, like, pick 15 to maybe pick 13, you know, in that way. But going to a fourth-place schedule.
You can't let it go. Sir, we have evolved here in Chicago. We don't have to do Speaks. We don't have to do this anymore.
No, we don't do it.
And we don't. We definitely don't have to do it for Detroit.
I'm doing it for Detroit. You're right. Well, we're playing Detroit. Okay, Lawrence.
I know, but this is the type of stuff the Bears people would have to do for years and years and years. And damn it, we don't have to do it anymore.
Man, this escalated fast. I think you're angry about my Tylers. I think you're upset about my Tyler rankings.
Well, you got two of them that should probably not be on the list for a lot of reasons.
And you're worried about my treatment of Butterball.
No, not Butterball. He's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Farrengold. He's a child.
Toddler T.
Yes!
I feel bad now.
Superb professionals in Tyler Butterball.
Wait, that's just you! You can't just play your own.
You can't play.
Who are you, Tanny?
You can't just play drops where people say you're great.
Well,
I have to fit the role.
Tanny does that. He plays Benetti saying Chris Tannehill is great at everything.
I mean, I feel like he's earned it, right?
That's true.
Butterball's on his way to earning it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm gonna go ahead
and
make the adjustment.
And so is Tyler Farrengold.
Yeah, I'm gonna make the adjustment. I'm gonna take out Tyler Perry. I don't like those movies that much either. I got to be honest with you. You know, are there good Tyler Perry movies?
There's one that I really like. Oh, what is the name of it? Oh, The Family That Prays.
Okay.
And that's with Kathy Bates and Sanaa Lathan and the guy from Yellowstone that everyone loves. Like, you would not even recognize him in this movie, by the way.
Now, you know, I'll leave Tyler Perry and I'll take out Tyler Hansbrough, because that was just an excuse to play
the drop.
Yeah,
no,
that's
I got
all,
it.
That's all.
I got it. Psycho T, right? Wasn't that his nickname?
Yeah, I'll take him out. All right, so I got Butterball and Farrengold in there along with the creator and Durden and Perry. I feel better.
Okay.
Just pretend I never said any of that stuff, okay? Make sure that Tyler Farrengold didn't hear any of that.
Tyler Farrengold is somewhere driving around with his family as we speak. And you're out here ripping them.
We're just going to dump the whole segment.
Thank you. Thank you.
It doesn't work that way.
Dump the whole show, as a matter of fact.
It doesn't work that way.
Except the part where we're talking about the defense and the linebackers. Thought that was good.
Yeah, and why isn't Tyler Shuck on the list?
You know what? He's got a chance to earn his way on
there. I think that he should maybe
knock out the creator?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want the creator in there at all.
As much as you love D'Angelo, some of the stuff that Tyler, the creator, ran into because of the edgelord stuff.
Oh, I don't
so he that. Tried to, like, he was trying to tell people how great D'Angelo was, and his people were like, guess what?
Yeah.
You know, like that sort of thing. So, and you're a, and then you're a. How about this?
Okay. You know what? I hear you. Tyler Kolek, the Marquette legend, who is killing it on the Knicks right now.
Yeah, he used to destroy DePaul.
He's playing great. He is fearless with the Knicks these days. He's a fourth quarter killer on that team right now. So, yeah, Tyler Kolek's got a shot. Thank you very much.
When's the next time you're going to... When is the committee getting together to update the list?
Sometime after the new year. Oh, wait, that's tonight. So, you know.
Monday?
Yeah, Monday. Monday. I mean, unless maybe we'll do more Bears Post rather than ranking Tyler's.
I'm expecting that we'll probably do more Bears Post than that.
That's probably true.
But a place where you can watch us do Bears pre, kind of, is next Friday when we're going to be with Circus Sports Illinois at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Cannot wait to get there. We are always treated great. The food is amazing. Their pizza at Real Time Sports is outstanding. Our show is going to be there from 2 to 6. We're going to talk about everything that is going on in the world of the NFL as we get ready for the playoffs. We're going to have some Chicago sports tickets to give away, courtesy of Circus Sports Illinois. That's 2 to 6 on Friday, January 9th, at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. And it's all brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Dave Wanstead will be here at the top of the hour. He'll be here on the phone, I should say. Ben Johnson spoke today about, among other things, Caleb Williams' opportunity to make Bears history. We'll discuss it next on 670 The Score.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Or Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
Looking forward to getting back at it again this week here. Good opponent coming in town and another division opponent. So look to finish the regular season the right way. And, you know, coming off a loss like that, I know our guys will be hungry to do that.
Happy New Year, everybody. The Bears spent New Year's Eve day going through a walkthrough. They will spend New Year's Day doing normal football things tomorrow. The coordinators speak tomorrow. Like, everything's just going on as normal. It's a game week.
Can I complain about something for a second?
Please.
I don't like that things were closed today.
Like stores and stuff? Or like?
Yeah. I get being closed tomorrow. I don't like the stuff was closed today. Gym was closed. Coffee shop was closed. And I'm like, there's an opportunity for commerce here, you know?
Yeah, most people are not working today. Look around.
And I think that that's weird.
Look around the building that we're in.
I know. There's no one here.
There's nobody here.
And
Tyler is in charge.
Look, I get once we get to a certain part of the day, like once we get to 5 o'clock or whatever, I understand like companies like not wanting to do business as people go out, but during the day, the gym closed. Trying to get those last few reps in.
I'm sorry about that for you.
Even here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we work too much as a society.
I agree with you.
As a people, as organisms. I think we work too much. And so,
but it can't
I'm
just
down
be
with it.
Chaos.
I think it can. I think it's all right. We just every saying. Once in a while. But I hear you. It's weird. This entire holiday season.
My favorite pizza place will be open though, right?
I don't know. Better call.
I should probably take a look.
Probably take a look and find out. This entire holiday season has been odd. I haven't known what day it is for like a week and a half. Anybody else with me on that?
I'm convinced that's why Forte couldn't find us yesterday.
Probably.
I'm
you don't know.
Convinced of that.
I mean, football doesn't help. Usually football helps. There's football every day.
There's football on right now.
That's what I'm saying. There's football on right now.
There's like three games going.
There were football games on Christmas, and then there were games on the Saturday, and I didn't know that it was Saturday. I thought every day was Friday for like 4 days in a row. I kept saying, it's Friday.
You're like, what about those NBA games? I forgot all about those.
I really did. the NFL just came and just beat the crap out of the NBA on Christmas Day.
I feel bad for the NBA because that's like a tradition, and now it's just gone. Speaking of the NBA,
yeah,
tonight the Bulls take on the Pelicans at the United Center. A nice early tip-off because it's New Year's Eve. Like, I can get with this. Like, this makes sense to me. Pre-game coverage on the Score begins at 5:45. Tip-off is at 6 on the Score, and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls. Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts.
We began the show talking about Caleb Williams' quest for 4,000 yards, and his comments on it, I think, were pretty honest. Like, you know, they brought me here to do stuff like this. He's right. With all the quarterback starvation, all the stuff we've been talking about forever, it's like that number would feel pretty damn good to a lot of people, and it would cross a very big thing off the list. Here's Ben Johnson from today when asked if he's concerned or interested even in Caleb reaching that goal.
Back in May, you said you wanted to try and change the narrative around the quarterback here in Chicago. Is there any incentive to get Caleb that 4,000-yard passing mark that hasn't happened here?
If it were to happen, that'd be great. But he would agree with me when I say our number one objective is to win this ball game. And so whatever that takes, that's our goal. And, you know, we'll see where it's at the end of the year. But tertiary goal, if you will, you know.
Here's a Caleb's play.
Do you appreciate what that might symbolize, though? I mean, you know, maybe not on the face of it, but just what it might mean.
I think it's an arbitrary number, so I don't know what would that mean? You tell me.
The only franchise to never have a 4,000-yard passer.
Okay, there are probably some that don't have a 5,000-yard passer either, right? So I mean, it's just the number. So
you're new, but that's kind of a big deal here.
apparently it is.
That's really funny, spoken like a true math wonk. It's just a number. That's not the kind of numbers he likes. He likes the more complicated ones, EPA per play,
yeah,
right, stuff like that. Like, that's just an arbitrary round number, and I get what he's saying, of course. You know,
I mean, then he should want to get rid of it because of the statistic anomaly that is the Bears not having one.
Here's the thing. To his point, anybody who's watching and paying attention knows that Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson have had a huge year together, whether he finishes at 3,900 or not. Anybody watching knows exactly what has gone on. I'll tell you what is going to fall almost assuredly.
Eric Kramer's
record of passing yards.
But doesn't Kramer get to go? I did it in 16.
Yes, he does. If you want to think about that, he absolutely gets to do that. But, you know, Caleb Williams is 108 yards behind Eric Kramer from 1995. You know who the coach was that year?
Dave Wannstedt.
Wanny offensive record is going to fall. A Dave Wannstedt offensive Bears record. Not many of those, folks.
Well, how about we talk to him about it?
Let's do it.
Dave Wannstedt. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is here next on the Score.
Probably some that don't have a 5,000 yard.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.